I'm talking with Barry Sipper, who's a co-author of What's Happening in the Mathematical Sciences, Volume 6. Now we're up to Chapter 5, titled New Insights into Prime Numbers. Prime numbers, of course, have been studied for a long time, but the results you talk about here, Barry, three big results, are fairly new.
They are. Well, mathematicians are, dare say, all the time proving new results about prime numbers and number theory generally. The last 10 years, roughly, have just been a wonderful period, sort of the golden age by some standards. And the results, the three specific results that I write about in this article are some of the most striking that have come along in quite some time. My favorite among the three, in some ways, is a nice result on studying the gaps between consecutive primes, which sort of ties in with an unsolved problem called the twin prime conjecture that has to do with two consecutive odd numbers being prime, like 3 and 5 or 11 and 13 and so on, which are thought to be infinite in number, but that's still quite unknown. The gap problem just says, roughly speaking, that as you go out in the list of prime numbers, which of course is infinite in extent, you do, even if you don't find consecutive odd numbers that are prime, you do find numbers that are closer together than you might otherwise expect. What was particularly nice in this particular story is that it contains an element of triumph over adversity insofar as the initial announcement that the result had been proved turned out to be incorrect. There turned out to be a gap of its own in the theorem or the proof about gaps between primes. But nonetheless, the mathematicians who did the work came back and filled their own gap, if you will. So the result did come into place and now is just part of the fixture of the theory of prime numbers.
Yeah, lots of times you think, you know, that's almost like a mistake, and sometimes when people make mistakes, they feel ashamed. But, you know, people also saying you learn from your mistakes, and in this case, they were able to repair it and came up with a great result.
Yeah. Well, even if they hadn't been able to repair it, it actually would have been some great work because, as it happened, some of their initial work tied in with one of the other results that's reported on in the article and enabled the other result to go through. So even if they hadn't filled the gap in their proof about gaps between primes, other things they had done in the course of that work were worth it no matter what.
And so that result tied in with the result about primes and arithmetic progressions from Green and Tao?
Yeah, which is another absolutely amazing result. This is a problem that's been around for, well, by some standards, for a couple hundred years. People have been chipping away at various aspects of it through the course of the 20th century. But then Green and Tao came along and just sort of blew it out of the water, if you will.
And the third result has to do with the complexity of the deciding whether something is prime.
Yeah, again, another classic problem that in some ways was intrigued Gauss himself, who was a big student of prime numbers, who observed that it's just really difficult to know when you're looking at a large number whether it's a prime number or a composite number. You know, of course, if you're given the factors of a composite number, it's easy to check. But if you have a number that's prime, how do you know that it's prime? How much work do you have to do to check? And this new result says that is, in technical terms, it's a polynomial time problem, which basically means that it's actually there are relatively easy to check. There is a so-called polynomial time or an efficient algorithm for checking that a given large number is prime.
Well, thank you, Barry. That's Barry talking about three results in the field of prime numbers. That's Barry Sipper, one of the co-authors of What's Happening in the Mathematical Sciences, Volume 6. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Mike.